Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. So we continue along in this sermon series, this very short sermon series we've been doing on unexpected joys. Well, the unexpected joy that we will talk about this morning is the unexpected joy of discipline. Discipline. And I'll begin that with talking about a 1970s cultural icon, Bruce Lee. You remember Bruce Lee? Yeah, he's a martial arts master, actor, stuntman. You know, Bruce Lee. It's Bruce Lee who was once attributed as having said the following, mostly in regards to his martial arts fighting and contests and things like that. But he said, "I fear not the man who has practiced 10,000 kicks once, but I fear the man who has practiced one kick 10,000 times." That's an idea that emphasizes a larger point. A point that includes the importance of practice at a high level of proficiency. In other words, it's an emphasis on being disciplined to focus on one thing so strongly that it becomes completely second nature. Another example of this is in the life of anyone who regularly plays golf, a sport that I am much more familiar with than Kung Fu. It is said that in order to implement a change in your golf swing, that the change must be practiced about 10,000 times in order for your body to learn and to know the new movement. In order to facilitate any change in life, but particularly that change in the golf swing, the individual must be disciplined enough to practice over and over and over and over and over again that one very specific little change. Well, again, today we discuss how discipline is an unexpected joy, but a joy nonetheless. Typically, there are two different ways that we define the word discipline. First, it may be viewed as being corrected for committing some sort of an error, getting back on the right track, if you will. The second definition that we typically have and use for discipline is to be committed to a particular practice. Well, I'll say that both uses of the word come from the same root word, and is actually the same root word that gives us the word disciple. To be discipled is to be disciplined. And discipleship is truly what is at the bottom of what we've been talking about these last few weeks and on into next week here at St. John's Parish Church. Discipleship, which is the process of becoming a follower of Jesus Christ and thus becoming more and more like him all along the way. Now, to be a disciple, to be a follower who desires to be more and more like Jesus every day, I want to be clear about this, the only necessary ingredient is our faith. I really want to make sure that is clear before we go any further talking about being disciplined. The only necessary ingredient for our salvation is faith. St. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, "By grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works." Simply, we gain salvation only through what Jesus has already done for us. Namely, Jesus dying on the cross to redeem our brokenness. This is not something that we could ever earn, that we could ever do on our own. It is truly a gift from God given to his people. So St. Paul continues on in Ephesians 2. He says, it is a gift from God, not a result of our works, so that no one may boast. So that we can't say, I did this or that to earn this good favor or good standing with God. No, it is so that no one may boast, because we are his workmanship. We have been created in Christ Jesus to do good works, to do good things. And I love this part, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That God prepared beforehand. Already this morning, we have seen a great example of good works coming from faith in Jesus Christ. Riley was baptized with water in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and sealed as Christ's own forever. This is something that can never be taken away from her. This is also something that she did nothing to earn. But her baptism is a great gift from God that has come through her faith in Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, we think about what Paul says in Ephesians 2, that we are his workmanship. We are the workmanship of God created in Christ Jesus for good works. When I think about that, I think about the last several months and the faith that I have seen working out in Riley here on Sunday mornings. And some of you have seen it, but many of you have not. Every Sunday morning, before worship begins, Riley and her best friend Abigail pray for you. They pray for all of you. They pray together over each and every seat in this room. You probably didn't know that. A truly faithful discipline that is creating two dedicated disciples of Christ. It is a selfless, peaceful, and comforting act that comes from their faithfulness in Jesus. And here, this is why I bring Ephesians 2 into the discussion today. This is what is so, it is even further comforting, is the knowledge that God had this prepared before Riley was even born. For we are all his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God knew that one day Riley would be praying for you. He knew that one day she would be baptized by dedicating her life to knowing him, to following him, to worshiping him, and to serving others. All in a joyful obedience to what God has always had in store for her. Friends, in the Gospel of Luke that we heard this morning, Jesus himself gives us a great lesson in what it is to be a disciple, to be disciplined to be a disciple of his. He spoke these words. He said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Take up his cross daily. Not every so often. Not once a week. Not once a month. Not quarterly. Daily. To take up my cross daily and follow Jesus. Discipline, the kind of discipline that is commitment to a particular practice, that's what we're talking about here, requires us to stop doing the things that we may desire, to put away what may make us really feel good, and to commit to a purpose. But we should never commit to being disciplined for blind reasoning. There should be a reason. There should always be a reason why we choose to discipline our lives. And, you know, I'll say that many people have no discipline whatsoever in their lives. I pray that some sort of commitment, some sort of discipline to a particular practice can come. But I know that many others certainly do have disciplines that they have committed to a particular regular practice. Then they have been fully committed. One example of that is that what I've seen over the last 4 years, I've watched my now 19-year-old son. I've watched his discipline grow by desiring to play baseball in college. And he committed himself to putting in the time, the energy, the effort, and the discipline to earn a baseball scholarship by dedicating every single day, by going to the weight room at 4 o'clock in the morning before school, by staying late after practice, by giving up many of the things that other teenagers would never give up. Fun fact, he's not here this morning. He's with a friend at church in Beaufort. But so I'll say this because he's not here. But fun fact is that he actually left his prom early to go to the gym to get a weightlifting session in so he wouldn't miss a day. But even more important than that, that's not the sole discipline I'm talking about here. Over the last year especially, I have seen that discipline grow into a dedication to further following the Lord. Okay? Further following the Lord with an even greater desire to do these things that come from faith, these things that come from the desire of the heart. He wakes up early in the morning now to read his Bible before he goes to the gym to work out. No one ever said doing things like this would be easy. No one ever said it would be easy. In fact, discipline is extremely difficult. Practicing one kick 10,000 times takes commitment. Along the way in that commitment, there's pain. There's pain due to physical demands, discomfort of strained muscles, pain due to having to wake up before anyone else, pain due to the emotional stress that it can cause, loss of time to do what others are less disciplined to do even. But for those who are truly disciplined, there is rarely the celebration of a phrase like eat, drink, and be merry. But in our discipline, what is the purpose? Again, we must have discipline with a purpose. What is the purpose of our discipline? Now, those of you who have been in the military certainly have there's a very specific purpose to the discipline of military, right? We also have a good many Citadel alum in the congregation. You certainly, being the lords of discipline, know the purpose of that. But what I'm talking about here goes beyond even military discipline to go into battle or educational and military discipline to get a degree and to do other things. What I'm talking about here is a discipline that could never possibly end. That it's not just a practice for a short period of time. It's not just a practice for a couple of weeks or a couple of months or even 10,000 times. What I'm talking about is a practice, as Jesus Christ himself told us, that is never ending. Never ending. Christian discipline does not end, brothers and sisters. And that's not a bad thing. Being committed, being devoted to Jesus Christ in our regular practices of reading Scripture, of attending worship, of being in fellowship and communion with one another, of waking up early to spend time with Him, of devoting time to being quiet with the Lord, of many different spiritual practices, they are never ending. And they develop within us a desire to know the Lord on a deeper level. The purpose of Christian discipline is to sit at the feet of Jesus, is to be calm, to have peace, to experience true joy, not only temporary happiness, but true joy. To be forgiven. To forgive. To go out and to come back. To know the gospel. To read the Bible. To pray. To worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. To know that Jesus Christ died and was resurrected for you. And this, brothers and sisters, requires the Christian to be different from the world. We are to be different from the world. It requires the Christian to acknowledge, to recognize, and to repent of our sins. It requires us to ask forgiveness from others. It requires us to die, to be less important, to be transformed more and more into the example of Jesus, humbly walking in humility, day in and day out, quietly carrying the burden of my cross, which is my own means of death, on my back, which, to be honest, is no real burden at all. Because it is on the cross of Jesus that all of our burdens have truly been borne. So what good is it if I am prosperous in this world? What good is it? So that others can know who I am, my legacy? So that I can provide a name for myself? Oh, but what good there is in being quietly dedicated to the Lord. Not making a name for myself. Not leaving behind a legacy that has my name written on it. But in fact, dying to myself. Because all of my importance, or what I think is my importance, is gathered into the importance of Christ, who is the Redeemer of the world. Again, friends, let there be no mistake about it. To be disciplined is difficult. There's nothing easy about practicing the same thing day in and day out. There is nothing easy about removing the things that feel good or the things that make me feel good. There's nothing easy about practicing one kick or one golf swing 10,000 times. There's nothing easy about waking up at 4 a.m. to go lift weights. And the benefit of discipline is sometimes very slow to see and sometimes not even visible at all. But there is an amazing and glorious and invaluable and hopeful benefit to dedicating to something outside of myself by doing the hard things. Listening and being open to the Lord in our discipline leads us away from being bound to the other things around us, things like cable news or doom scrolling on social media or gross individualism or our addictions or being controlled by our bellies, our desires and our hungers, that is. But there is a joy, perhaps unexpected, but all amazing, that comes from being disciplined to eliminate the distractions, to commit to following Jesus in every aspect of our lives. And now I'm going to finish with what we already heard this morning from St. Paul in Romans chapter 6. He said, "We know that our old self was crucified with Christ in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, that I might be made less important, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. And now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also live with Him." This, then, friends, is the overwhelming and glorious good news for you from Jesus Christ. The burden and the weight of life is no longer yours to bear. When I die to self, I am reborn in Jesus. He has taken all the necessary work upon Himself so that I can experience, so that any of us can experience the joy of being disciplined in Him. Amen.